Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Oh, welcome to it. It is Old School on a Wednesday. Austin Orman, Jay Foreman with you. Glad you're with us. Glad as well for the sponsorship of the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, special ingredient butcher shop, three Lincoln locations and one up in Omaha. Always open, ready, and available for you to get every type of meat and every type of cut. I'm Austin. He's Jay. Jay, welcome into the show. How are you doing this fine day? Slightly less rainy than it was yesterday.
Yeah, man,
it was brutal yesterday.
Yeah, this is crazy. Listen, we can't say we've been in a drought.
Not after the last couple days, no.
Yeah, last week or so. It was horrible.
Speaking of making it rain, seems like Steve Ballmer was making it rain outside the NBA salary cap rules with Kawhi Leonard. What the heck?
That's not new. It's not new. I think... It's just a different time, because if you remember correctly, if you ever watched the Jerry Jones, well, if you knew about when they, I think, signed or traded for Deion, that the Cowboys paid him through part of his salary was through like Coca-Cola and all that stuff. Mm. Now, I don't know if it was a no-show-up job. That's the type of job I want for $28
million. $7 million a year for 4 years to do literally nothing.
Yeah, just hang out, but he didn't have to show up for that job. Now he's got to show up for
basketball,
and he had a good year last year, so we don't give him credit. Yeah,
okay. Now that he's back and mostly healthy with the quad, the hammy, and all that. So for those of you who might have missed the story with Kawhi Leonard, it was reported earlier today. Pablo Torre just joined The Athletic that there was essentially a shell company set up to pay Kawhi Leonard more money above and beyond the NBA salary cap. Of course, Kawhi has signed max deals a couple times, including a max extension. But back in 2019, when Kawhi's a free agent, he takes the Toronto Raptors to the NBA championship. They win it for the first time and only time so far in franchise history. Kawhi's on the open market, did not sign an extension with Toronto. It was very heavily rumored that he wanted to go back home to LA. A lot of people thought it was going to be the Lakers, but, you know, Clippers were always kind of in the picture. And even at the time, there was some minor NBA investigating and plenty of scuttlebutt around Uncle Dennis, right? The kind of main driver between Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs, that Uncle Dennis had wanted some kind of shady stuff in order to get Kawhi to sign with the team. So the NBA looks into that. Nope, everything's all on the up and up. But the Lakers have always been kind of pissed about it. They thought they had him, and then somewhat late in the process, here come the Clippers to swoop in and sign him. Well, that was in 2019. Plays for a couple of years, then or doesn't play for a couple of years, depending on how you want to look at it. Then he signs his max extension, 4 years, $176 million, something like that. But he also signed a deal with a company called Aspiration. Climate change, plant trees, whatever, around the same time that he signed that max extension. Now, here's where it starts to get even fishier. Aspiration also signed Robert Downey Jr. and Leonardo DiCaprio as clients. And I'm sorry to Kawhi Leonard, but he's third out of three on that list of global superstars. Robert Downey Jr. shows up in commercials. Leonardo DiCaprio shows up in commercials. Kawhi not only does not appear in a commercial, never posts on social media about it, never likes a post, never follows the company, not even anything internal, just for the Clippers. Okay, so you have two A-list superstars making less than $7 million combined for this project.
Right.
And Kawhi's making $7 million a year. Okay, so where are they getting the money from? From Steve Ballmer, who put in $50 million of his own money into this company. And then it gets even crazier, Jay. There's an aspect to this where some Nate Jones, NBA reporter, is saying, you know, this thing's common, right? Like you said, it's been going on forever, where stars will sign contracts with big team sponsors. Some will have clauses that say the deal with the sponsor ends if they move to another team, because that sponsor, of course, only sponsors one team. Well, it never actually got that far with Aspiration. Company goes bankrupt. They obviously file, I think, Chapter 9 or Chapter 11. So it never actually ended up being a team sponsor, but it turned into a shell company and is now under federal investigation for fraud. Who's listed as a creditor in the bankruptcy filings? A relatively new company called KL2 Aspire LLC. What are Kawhi Leonard's initials?
KL.
What number does he wear?
Two.
What's the root of Aspiration?
Man.
Aspire.
Yeah.
Hey. Kawhi is still being paid while the company is going under, completely bankrupt. No one else is getting paid except Kawhi. Because why? Because Uncle Dennis is making calls. Where's my money? Pay me or we go public with this. Kawhi's making $7 million a year to do nothing while company's going bankrupt that Steve Ballmer put 50 of his own million dollars into.
And that, and then you wonder, was that the whole purpose?
There's no way it wasn't, right?
To move money and just bankrupt it. But Kawhi's still going to get paid, right?
Seems like it.
Yeah.
At least for now.
He couldn't. There's no way that he would take money away. You know what I'm saying? Not pay him. There's no way. No way. There's no way in the world that he would do that. There's no way that he, because it would be Kawhi. Well, you think he don't play now?
How many games did Kawhi play last year? I think he broke 60, didn't he?
Yeah, he was out there, and you were like, dang, you still playing?
And playing really well, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, last year, Kawhi Leonard, okay, only 37 games, my bad, once he got back. But when he was healthy,
yeah, he was pretty.
He played, I mean, once, yeah, he got back.
And he played in the playoffs, too, right?
Yeah, pretty darn well in the playoffs. Played 68 games 2 years ago. That's what I was thinking. Before getting hurt at the end. So let's jump off on kind of your point, Jay. This has been going on kind of forever. You know who else was investigated for this before? The Clippers and DeAndre Jordan back in 2015. Also in 2015, Tom Brady gets investigated. TB12 and the Patriots.
Oh. Yeah. You got to be, listen, the Patriots were always tiptoeing the line. The Patriots just stayed in the gray area. They're like, oh, man, I didn't know that was the rule. We interpreted it different. You know, some religions, you know, that you can interpret whether you either drink zero drinks or you can drink 100. Mm-hmm. And you, it's up to you to decide whether you're drunk or not. I think that's the Patriots. Oh, man, we didn't know. We didn't know we couldn't pay another company, you know, $8 million. That's why he kept taking on cap-friendly deals.
Right. Jalen Brunson leaves $113 million on the table to re-sign with the Knicks.
Yeah, that is stupidity at its finest.
Unless it's not. Unless he's got $113 mil waiting somewhere else for him.
Yeah, but his dad's the coach. Mm-hmm. That means both of them will be on the chopping block.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're paying his dad. I don't know, man. I mean, I don't really think it's that big a deal, but I think it's a big deal in the sense of now you got certain teams operating in with a competitive advantage because they're able to keep these type of players and then sign other players and then not pay whatever level of luxury tax as far as like the Clippers go. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with the Knicks, right? You're able to do and make some huge trades and all that stuff. And then the Patriots, damage is done. You might as well just leave the Patriots alone. Just leave it alone. Is the best run of all. It'd be like finding out that Alabama was paying players. Just let it be.
Oh, we'll get to Alabama later. Some really interesting comments on that. But more from Nate Jones. He says, yes, pretty much every NBA team star has a deal with a major team sponsor or sponsors. It's not considered circumvention because there's an exchange of rights. It's on the partner to utilize those rights, name, image, likeness rights, essentially, and to enforce them. Paying $7 million is pricey, but the Clippers and Kawhi have cover here. Of course, I've never seen an instance of a player not actually being asked to activate, but Kawhi can say that's not on him. It's on aspiration. Yeah. For not asking him to show up. Didn't see any emails saying don't ask Kawhi to activate it.
Yeah, I was waiting. You just never called.
You never called. You never sent the email.
Yeah, man. He was waiting for the call to go play golf. He just never called it. I ain't mad at Kawhi. Get your money, man. Oh, shucks. 50 million, billionaire, 50 million. I lost 50 million. You're writing that 50 mil off.
Oh, just like that.
Yeah.
So quick. Of course, this isn't necessarily the first time that this has happened in the NBA. Joe Smith had the same thing with the Timberwolves, Jay.
I know. See, and that is not a good investment with Joe Smith.
It certainly did not work out.
Even though he's a former Maryland Terpman, I like Joe Smith.
Been on the show.
Oh, with Stricky.
With Strick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what happened when the Minnesota Timberwolves were found out to have circumvented the cap with Joe Smith? Five first round picks they had to forfeit. Did get two of them back later. Five first, not five total. Five first round picks forfeited. Got fined $3.5 million.
What was the company that was paying them?
I don't know that off the top of my head. Mm. Joe Smith's contract was voided and he lost his bird rights.
Oh, dang.
Huge deal. Glenn Taylor got suspended and Kevin McHale forced to step away from the team.
Kevin McHale. I like Kevin McHale, man. Remember when he got back into coaching, he's like, man, there's a lot of travel.
A lot of travel.
Listen, they were probably like sloppy with it. They probably were more mad that you did that for Joe Smith. Like, we're going to teach you a lesson.
Because you're the Minnesota Timberwolves. You're the
Timberwolves. We're going to make an example out of you. And you didn't sign back my man, Sam Cassell, and kept the Latrell Sprewells riding on spinners together. And you let Tom Gugliotta go wherever he loved it. And you bring in Joe Smith.
And break the rules to do it.
Yeah, and they had some issues up there for a while, you know, because you had the Malik Sealy thing, you know, unfortunate. You know, he got hit on a wrong-way driver. You had Joe Smith, who got into a little bit of stuff. And then they had Felipe Lopez, who was just wilding out in Minneapolis.
You ever meet Felipe?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Stories are true?
About what? How he kicked it?
Everything.
He was a wild boy. You know, here's a funny story about Sam Cassell. And I liked Sam Cassell in college because I think I played him on NCAA on PlayStation or whatever. So I liked him. He had a little elbow jumper. And I think he played for the Rockets, I think, you know, I think prior. I always admired his game. I like Sam Cassell because remember he was Florida State with Bobby Surra. Mm-hmm. They were cold. I liked it, you know, when they be on the game. So we're up in Prince's Club. It used to be called Glam Slam. Then it went to like his symbol, and you know what I mean. And then so I was with some friends, ran into him, introduced myself or whatever. I had like I didn't have full season Timberwolves tickets. I got like a half a season. You know, when our season was over, split it with four of my...
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the My Lowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
High school buddies. And so we'd go. So that was the icebreaker or whatever. And one of the games we had got, somehow, I think Kirby Puckett got us down on the court side. So he kind of had seen me. Well, then we went to this other place called South Beach, and Sam Cassell is in there. And he did like this toast and sent over champagne. It, like, we did not leave Minneapolis. We couldn't, I couldn't get back home. We had to emergency stay at a hotel. Yeah, it was Sam Cassell was the king. He was great. He was always really cool, like real down to earth, really funny dude. And Felipe Lopez, listen, him and Michael Olo with Candy.
Mm-hmm. The Candy Man.
Candy, they were in Dinky Town everywhere.
Whew.
I get calls back. Like, hey, we seen Felipe. Oh, it'd be like on an odd Wednesday. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, we saw your boy Felipe.
Yeah, one of my friends lived downtown. He was like, yeah, I went and got some beers after work. Felipe was you know, up in there kicking it hard. So
while we're on the Clippers here, Jay, we mentioned the punishments that the Timberwolves got. But will those have an impact on the Clippers? Probably not.
No.
Number one, fines are essentially useless to a man whose net worth is, at least according to Forbes, more than the NBA itself. The NBA is valued at approximately $130 billion. Steve Ballmer, his net worth valued approximately $150 billion. He could buy the NBA if he wanted to at the drop of a hat. And we talked about the picks, right? Forfeiting the five first-round picks like Minnesota did. How about this? The Clippers don't own their own picks outright until 2030. They're already missing 5 years of picks.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Do what you got to do. We'll be all gone anyways.
How do you punish them? This is Harbaugh to the NFL stuff. They've already gotten away with it.
You just chalk it up to the game?
Do you ban him from the league? Or something? You
can't. You're going to tell him he can't go? He owns the stadium. Or the arena.
It force him to sell?
No.
Again, it's the richest guy, so you're not going to do that.
And that's not like the other dude. What was his
Sterling?
Name?
Sterling.
So I don't know what you do. You could probably maybe reduce their salary cap. Like, you know.
Clearly they don't care about that, though.
Yeah, or you could find, if there's a way to stop them from signing guys in free agency next year or something like that. It'd be like the equivalent of taking away like draft picks for the NFL or like reducing their team salary cap.
Signing cool bonus for Major League Baseball, something like that.
Yeah. Reduce their salary cap, you know, by 15-20% and then increase their luxury tax by that. Because then you're going to hurt the team and then obviously hurt the pockets a little bit.
And if the NBA, I think if the NBA is looking to make the most money, I think that's what they do. They lower the salary cap for the Clippers, but also they move the luxury tax down with it.
Yeah.
Because the luxury tax isn't set at a certain number of dollars. It's a percentage above the cap. So they
have to be tighter to it.
If you bump the Clippers
down,
salary cap down, but keep the percentage above the same,
they can essentially
be sending the first apron amount like another team, but be paying second plus apron price.
Yeah, they need to make it just for a year. Real hard on them.
Only a year?
Maybe two. After that, nobody's going to care.
That's Kawhi as long as Kawhi's still under contract.
Yeah, they'll be in 2 years. All the grandpas will be off that roster. I mean, they got the old school crew over there.
Yeah. I mean, they're all old. I mean, that's the team that's average age is about 30.
Yeah. So I think
Harden's maybe still there.
2 years. Harden will be on. He'll be still trying to get back to Houston.
One other thing on that. Nate Jones again. Also, I guarantee that the league just wants this to go away because if you try to get legal with Steve Ballmer, he's going to go nuclear and get every team sponsorship books and sponsor correspondence opened up in court. He individually has more resources than the NBA itself.
There's got to be a compromise. Hey, we got you. What can we, you know, scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Joint statement, all that. Don't fight it. It's taken on the chin. That's why I think it'd be a year. The quicker it is, the better. The longer it goes, and they can dive into more stuff, because then you bring other teams in. You're like, okay, what about the Lakers? What about whoever else?
What about the Knicks?
What about the Knicks? Right.
Houston?
Everybody else is like, Steve, you need to take this deal.
Mm-hmm.
We need you to it.
For your sake and for ours. Right. Mostly for ours.
Yeah. Like, immediately.
As soon as this comes out, sorry, did it. Never going to happen again.
It's like, it's It's Deflategate. It's the Spygate. That was happening a long time. I mean, teams were doing that.
Yeah.
The Patriots been doing that long before the Super Bowl.
But then they got sloppy and got caught.
They didn't get sloppy. They were just so roguish with it. They was like, these dummies, we've been doing this all season. Nobody said anything.
Try one more time.
And just the fact that they were the only team to shut down the Rams completely. Rams were like, whoa, what's going on? It was like, you know, with your boy at Michigan. They said that one of the Ohio State players, he was number 33 last year. He plays at Pittsburgh. They interviewed him about it. And he was like, we had just put in these plays, but we had been practicing them, but we hadn't put them in the game. So it lets you know they've been spying on it. It's a video where had a screen pass, and then the whole team was doing that. Even with Nebraska, when we were taking them we were going neck and neck with them, mm-hmm. and they ran that screen to their sideline. The whole team didn't even like the whole.
Aiden Hutchinson just says, "I'm here."
Yeah, just didn't pass rush. But yeah, the Clippers, they're gonna have to take one on the chin. Don't fight it, because here's what you fear is that, and I don't think Ballmer's like Daniel Snyder, ego and all that. You know, I think he's obviously very confident.
Yeah.
And he probably knows what he did. Mm-hmm. Okay, you got caught. The league knows you got caught. Your other billionaire buddies know you got caught. Sure, you got a little bit of embarrassment, but then you take it on the chin and then get right back to the drawing boards and see what other way you could skirt the rules. But don't be like Daniel Snyder, where you push back, attack other owners, then you end up without your franchise. And
your friends.
And your friends.
Because they're supposed to cover for you. But the second you start attacking them.
Because you know what the problems is with being a billionaire? I don't know. I don't understand. But
I don't know the problems. I would love to one day understand.
I do. I would like these problems. You don't have a lot of friends. Because, I learned this when I first moved to Minnesota, and I used to hang out with this dude named Brian Jacobs. And, you know, his dad was some big time lawyer. I mean, like big time. Mm. And his mom was the nurse. So she'd always hook me up my senior year. I'd be calling in and saying, I'm Chuck, Jay's not coming to school. And Brian, whatever. And Brian's dad was really like, you know, wealthy or whatever. And he just only had like about four or five friends, because you just, you know, like, the things that you're doing with Steve Ballmer's talking about his problems, me and you can't understand it.
We'll never understand.
Yeah, you know, imagine coming home is like, man, dang, call up Austin, like, Jay, what's wrong, man? You seem like you got a lot on your mind. Man, you know, that's that fake company that I started, you know, the 10th one that I did, you know, that I started, and all nine of them probably made me, you know, $1 billion.
Wait, you had nine others? Would be my first reaction.
Well, they all know it, right? This is like billionaire to billionaire conversation. Yeah, man. Some reporter tried to, you know, get in good into Athletic, found out about it. Now I'm down 50 million. You can't call anybody and say, I lost 50 million, and somebody even know what it's like.
Even 5 million.
Yeah.
Even 500,000.
Yeah, even $500.
$500, seriously.
50.
Yeah.
I got to get that.
Like it back.
Yes.
Where's it coming from?
Yeah, man. Yeah. I'm El Frugal, man. You know, if I got to overspend on something, I might be selling some old Jordans or something, man. I can't be having that, man. My sphincter must get too tight. His problem is, he's like, these are my only buddies, my only friends. Because okay, let me ask you. You think Steve Ballmer is going to go to like whatever, like LA Country Club and just, hey, man, I'm a single. Can you put me with three other dudes? Now, mind you, they're millionaires there, right?
There
might be Austin Reeves and all these guys making, he's making 85 millions. Millions. Mm-hmm. He can own the league. Would you go like, hey, what are you drinking? Bush Light? No.
No.
No. You know, just imagine, just, right? You know, hey, Steve, man, what are you doing? He's like, oh, man, I'm flying to Florida. And you say, what airline are you flying? Yeah, that's you know what I'm
airline.
Saying? Yeah, I'm flying like Delta, right? Taking the red eye, trying to be cheap. He's like, oh, yeah, we'll probably leave. It'll leave when I get. We might have a little breakfast, you know.
Little brunch on the plane just in case I get hungry.
Yeah, you know, we lose 3 hours. You know, maybe what? You know, we'll just get up and have some tea and some coffee, get there, eat, you know.
Eat lunch.
Yeah. you know, a couple Cornish hens and stuff like that. You know, so you, some champagne. And then, you know, we got a five-star, you know, five-star dinner by the time we get there. And, you know, we'll worry about golf tomorrow. What time's the tee time? You know,
we'll worry about that when I get there.
I'll just make a call. Well, it's going to be midnight. They'll answer. Yeah, you don't have people you can have those conversations with. You heard what Magic Johnson said.
Mm-hmm.
When he became a billionaire, he's like, shoot, if the deal ain't $10 million, I can't even talk.
I can't show up. I can't be there.
No, it's like he's like, you got to get to that level because that's what really is worth his time. And I have one like experience with it. That was with the Giants. And this is before, you know, if you weren't a quarterback or like a famous like offensive player, you really weren't getting a lot of like signings or whatever. So we were going to make the playoffs and it was funny. And we were in the shower and, you know, everybody's in there and it was me. And like Jeremy Shockey was in there and then Tiki Barber was in there and it was before all of his stuff or whatever. And he was like, yeah, you know, so-and-so Honda wanted me to go and do, you know, a 4-hour appearance for 20,000 or something. Or like, I think it was like 10. He's like, I'm not coming out the house for 20. I said, man, me and Shockey looked at it. I was like, man, I'll come out of the house for 1,000. Especially if they go pay for me to be there.
For an hour? Yeah. Even 2 hours. Yeah. How about 500?
And then like 2 weeks later, once we made the playoffs, we did like a little, we went to the mall and they did like, you know, one of those sports memorabilia things.
Mm-hmm.
Signed for like an hour. We got $15. You couldn't, at $1,500, you would have thought that we were boss balling. This dude talking about he ain't doing nothing for $20,000 back then. So that's the equivalent of Steve Ballmer right now.
Dang, Tiki.
Yeah, he was all right. He was different. You know, he was different.
Tiki a better running back than Rondé was a DB.
No. Tiki had fumble problems until Coughlin got there. Then he went off.
People forget.
And then he was really, really good. And then, you know, lost his way a little bit. And then obviously I think the way he ended in New York and some of his off the field stuff affected him when he tried to extend his career. But I'd probably say Rondé Barber is the best slot corner, slot player, nickel player of all time.
Woo.
Slot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still.
Without a question. He revamped people's defenses around the way he played. Now, he still could be out there, you know, corner. But when he went in the slot, he was...
Night-night.
He could defend. He had the big play against the Eagles when they went up there and beat them. He'd you know, get sacks and all that stuff. He was a really good football player. He was a great football player.
$20,000 in 2005 is $33,000 today.
That's still a lot of money.
That's still
I thought it was be close to 50. Is it? Listen,
that's still an extra 65%.
Hey, exactly. But yo, I was looking at him. Now, mind you, we were in the shower, so I couldn't do it. I didn't work either. But I was just like, I can't believe it. I just couldn't believe, I guess, the gall or whatever, or the, I guess, arrogance or whatever. It's like, oh, I'm not going to do it for really?
It's arrogance, but also to be able to be that comfortable.
Yeah.
To where you can say, no, I'm good. I'll pass on 20.
Never get that comfortable.
Dang. Well, we'll see what happens with Kawhi Leonard, Steve Ballmer, and the Clippers. We'll be back Whiteboard Wednesday, TCU, North Carolina. Couple indicative plays Jay's got dug up for us. So.
The play that I'm going to bring up, though, brought back bad memories.
Oh, boy.
But the bad memory, the play that I went this same exact play, didn't work out well for Jay Foreman. Michael Pittman was talking junk after this, and that's why I knocked his helmet off.
Turnabout is fair play. Whiteboard Wednesday, Jay's therapy session next on Old School.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Oh, let's get after it here on a Whiteboard Wednesday. We talked a little bit about this game already. That'd be North Carolina and TCU. But linebacker at number 56, number 44, Jay Foreman has a lot to say and potentially even some PTSD. On a very, very similar play. Jay, Whiteboard Wednesday.
Yeah,
let's go.
Man, we were playing Tampa 1 year, and we were playing what's called an odd front. So odd front is this here. Well, first of all right, we're going to explain this. Everybody was asking about the 3-3-5. This is it right here. Just to let you know, Three defensive linemen. Three.
Right there in the middle.
Three linebackers.
One on either end and then one in the middle. End.
So you got a five-man front, but it's 3-3-5 personnel. Mm-hmm. This right here was your boy. This right here was your boy, Jay Foreman. Right.
Safeties rolled down a little bit. Box.
Yeah. And it depends on, you got locked up man to man. You can see this right there. They're playing. This is like called levels, right? You want to have a guy pressing. He's in a hard job, right? You got the tight end here. Okay.
With the safety head up over him.
Yep. And so when we ran our 3-3-5, we kept our safety back, and then this linebacker would be behind the line of scrimmage, and the defensive lineman would be in a true loose five or a tight five. So, but this is the same thing. The reason why in an odd front it's hard because these guards are uncovered. That means nobody's in front of them. Now, the tip this is, right, as a linebacker, film study, you look at little tips to give you a head start on trying to defend the play. So we will be going a little bit longer this, and we'll do we have the play too?
Yes.
Because on the flip side, we're going to show you the same play, but TCU obliterated the play.
Yes.
So if you look at this offensive lineman here, okay, see how he's sitting back, butt low. Mm-hmm. We used to call it, he's taking a crap, or in a frog stance. He's going to either be pulling out, right, or he's on the move, or he's in pass set. So either or, right? Look the depth of the running back. So he's 8 yards deep.
Two behind the quarterback, 2.5. Mm-hmm.
That's run. 8 yards deep. You can't pass protect. We blitz off the line of scrimmage. We get to the quarterback before you can even step up and get there.
Before he gets set in position.
You're set. Yeah. And you're right behind him. It's heavy.
You're a pistol.
Right. We just call it army. Mm-hmm. Right? And so when these two guards potentially could pull, that means if your run responsibility, let's just say this defensive tackle who looks like he's in a three, he has the B gap. You have as a linebacker, you have the A gap right here on his side, which would be the right side.
The defensive
right side of the ball. Well, when this guy pulls, your gap goes over here.
So you got the opposite B then.
Opposite A gap. Okay. Right. Because essentially the line just shifts over one. So now the nose becomes you. You become the nose on the play side. Because he has a hard job. He's got to make sure that he doesn't get what's called scoop blocked or reached or whatever you would call it. So when we see this in the next series, you're going to get two guards pulling. He's going to pull up in there, and he's hitting it up here, and he's going to strike up the band and cock the head back. Then he's gone. So that's what it looked like pre-snap. Okay, that's the positions. This is right after it, getting over there. And you see this guard pulling. You see the depth, right? So right here, first of all, listen, there's an old saying, slow feet don't eat. You clicking the heels like you're...
Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm. That ain't good. You crossing over, you ain't Tim Hardaway or Allen Iverson. It's not good. You got to shuffle, and you got to get downhill and move. You almost got to, what we used to call, get downhill, skate to the left, square pads. So we had all these. Don't get out leveraged, but leverage the ball, don't leverage the block. Yeah. It's all these dumb names that people come up with. But it also
catchy. It sticks with you.
It is, right?
Mm-hmm. How you remember.
20 years later, go figure. Can't remember anything in school, but I can remember football. Okay, the onside guard pulled out, right? Good job right there, setting the edge, right? So he's coming over here looking for work, most likely on this safety.
So already to the third level, because he's got no one in his way, nothing to sort through.
Yes, sir. And not so fast, my friend.
Okay.
If you don't have your head on a swivel, that's why I got hit one time. Like, this is the PTSD. You will get rocked. Okay. Remember that tight end I told you about?
Mm-hmm. He's coming.
Yeah, it's a double team. They did a really good job of double teaming and slipping up to the second level, because the reason why I know it's a good double team, look at this North Carolina defender right here. They got a little bit of movement right there, right? And when we see the other play, you look at the difference, all right? So now you're late in your read. It is a hard read because there isn't any counter step and pull, because that's why it's hard, because he's straight delaying going play side versus counter step. You move over and then you see the guard move back. So it kind of is easier that way, mm-hmm. right? So now what are they going to do most likely on big runs? They're going to test your fundamentals and just see where you're at and come in the first play in the second half, 5 seconds into the game. This is a look-see play. Mm. Let's see how you come out at halftime, and let's see what we can get. Well, it worked out. It worked out real well for them, and this is the result right here. And it's kind of all like mushed up right here. But again, I want you to look at something footwork, right? This makes you late with a bad read. This is the tight end. Look at the angle that he has on this block right here, right?
Completely pushing that guy back to the middle of the field.
Well, he got a good job on the double team right there, allowing this tackle to seal him, because you can see we had a little bit better film. That right arm, he's able to kind of essentially pin him there, right? So that five technique is there. It's almost like a really good pick in a pin down or something like that. You really just created a lot of space. Now here's this guard, right, that's pulled. He hasn't impeded his progress at all. He is tight, right? TCU said they wanted to be physical, right? And they've worked at this. This is blocked perfectly. He is about to get his shoulder square. It's over.
Offensive guard on a safety.
It's over. Because this running back is getting paid literally in college to make him right that guard. So it's a two-way go. Look at this down here. We asked about where, you know, we talk about home run hitters and an Emmitt and all that, how that works. Look at this downfield blocking right here. Look at that right there.
Completely engaged.
Right. Look at everybody engaged. And you had a win back here. Too late. You showed up to the club 2 hours late. Dude. Ladies' night is over and gone. Right? Too late. Why? Play side got destroyed. Win here. Super win here. Win there. No separation. A little late read here. Right? All right. Next one. Okay, this is just kind of funny. This is the result of it. This is how quick it can happen. Trust me. I've been on the other side of this. Actually, this happened in practice, my first play in the NFL minicamp. I was like, dang, where'd he go? Well, strike up the band. There you go right there. Look at this right here. This is the sweet thing about this, and I can't wait to do it when we do the black shirt breakdown and Whiteboard Wednesday on video, which we'll post. Look how tight he runs this right here.
Right on him.
Yeah. Look at that.
Now, no daylight.
Look at this. Hey, what did I say? Hit the sideline, cock the head back, strike up the band. You could have just stopped. This is a touchdown. But more importantly, I talked about the angles, right? And I talked about that tight end who originally started out here. He is now blocking that linebacker here.
Woo!
Yeah.
That's 7-8 yards.
Well, it's not even downfield. This is the original line of scrimmage. You're late. You are blocked. You better off just spinning and trying to chase him down. Now, if you look at this dude here, this running back, he did not look like he was fast.
No.
Had like a little old dad body, you know, kind of all busting up in his uniform. Yeah, he rolled out pretty good. He's a 4-4 guy. I had to look at him. Now, look at the next one here. Okay, I just wanted to get you and see how hard it is and how hard this read is. We need to post this again so we can kind of get the clips on here. This is the linebacker. I won't even tell you who that is. You know he has a Nebraska connection.
Oh, no.
That's the Mekhi
yep.
Bear.
Yep. You just said you weren't going to tell.
Well, you Jedi mind tricked me again.
I just sat here. That's what you think. I just sat here.
The way you look, listen, your son can't never lie to you. Okay? I already know. But look at this right here. Right? Look at this right here. Win. Look at that. Got him. Win. Got him. And look at this dude right here. Hey. They had tight ends when I played that were big. It was like Anthony Beck, Kyle Brady. You know what I'm saying?
Anthony Beck's kid's pretty good at quarterback this year so far.
The Patriots had just big old tight ends. You know, look at this angle. He's just licking his chops. I've seen guys get put to sleep right here because back then they could ear hole you. This is a Hines Ward special. Used to be on all the NFL films. Now they outlawed it because then they get lawsuits, right? All right. I just wanted to see that right there. This is the anatomy of a big play. Late. Okay, we'll go back. Look. Chilling. Like that guarded pull. This is the guard right here. Look where the eyes are. Here. This is where you need to be right here. Because now you can get over top and make the play for 4 or 5 yards. That's a winning play when you're a little bit outnumbered and out leveraged. Right? Now you can do that by, if we went back to pre-snap, alignment over there. Because you have a safety down, actually both sides. So I'm going to favor where, Austin? To the tight end side.
Tight end side.
But they didn't. Okay. Whatever you're taught, that's cool. That's why I'm sitting here. Right here. I just wanted to show you how big that gap is right there. Look at that.
That's your quintessential. You could drive a semi through there.
Look at that right there. And look at old buddy back here. This is how you know nobody was expecting this. This dude has the best seat in the house. He ain't even looking.
He knows it's over.
Hey, and look at the ump. Ump ain't looking. Okay? Hey, and look at my boy over here. Yeah. Let me get a vodka cranberry. Right? Everybody trying to get their orders in. Look, she's trying to get lined up to where she can take a picture. But look at this right here. House call. That was the first one, right? Right? Mm-hmm. They actually hit out here. Now let's go. Let's see what we got next.
There you got getting through the hole. There it is.
See there?
That linebacker's getting mauled out of the way to open that up even further.
This is the movement right here. This is the double team. And look at the angle that he has on here. Essentially, he can wall you off. He doesn't even have to ear hole you. He just got to like box you out or, you know, like get big on you, get wide as far as defense goes. It was blocked beautifully, right?
Now, and that's a pretty simple play that I'm sure a bunch of teams have in their playbook.
Yeah, it's a look-see. Let's look and see how you come out, you know, energy-wise and effective-wise out of halftime. And maybe they saw something in the first half. And then let's look and see what we can get with this basic play, right? And I'll see 70-80-yard touchdown. Let's see if we get it right.
This is the flip side. Okay, this is the flip side.
Okay, this is the flip side. It is essentially what happens with coordinators. It gets a little bit of ego, and they'll say, hey, look, since you did it to us, we're going to do it right back to you. So the Patriots went about it a different way. They didn't do super wide splits, which I think hurt this play, right? So you remember when they had the stacked look levels? They're still doing levels because you got right here, but this receiver was out here, right? So now it brings, when you have this tight a split by number two, then you bring in two extra defenders.
When you say number two, that's the inside receiver to the
number
field.
Two. Yeah. Now TCU had him lined up directly around him right there. Mm-hmm. Right. So now look at the same play. The Patriots do something different. I'll take that off. Do something different here is that instead of having a tight end, they brought in an extra offensive lineman. So they're letting you know we're trying to get physical. You know, we're going to get physical, ready, break, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is the extra tight end right here, right? So you got 1, 2, 3, 4. This is regular nickel defense out of a 3-3-5 personnel. So this is the way we used to run it, right? When we did it, we'd go 3-3-5 and we'd have Kylie Wong, who was a great outside linebacker, or Antoine Peake Sr., and they would be standing up here. Then we'd have our three defensive linemen. But look at this right here. You're coming down, right? It's a straight up. We used to call this inside take, inside zone. You see this. You'll see this 50 times this weekend, right? Straight inside zone, right? Running back originally started out here about 8 yards, right? He's hitting it, right? They had some sort of cross blitz, which is a run blitz, which they do in the A-gap. So they'll have the two guys and they'll cross one A-gap and then one come on the other. But watch what happens here. I know it's a lot of scribbling, right? I'm going to take some of this stuff off. All of it off, actually. But watch this right here since he's hitting it, right? But more importantly, look at this line of scrimmage right here. Look where they are. One guy on a new line of scrimmage. Another guy on a new line of scrimmage. He's on the line of scrimmage, and he's a stalemate. That's a win. Now the onus falls on these two guys of making the play, either making the tackle or making the play for somebody else to get the credit for the tackle. All right? Let's look at the next one right here. Hey, look at the finished product.
Whoop.
Okay. The handoff is there. You had a run blitz there. So look where he's free, right? Because this defense, you can't see it right now. This defensive tackle here is taking up two blockers, right? He's free, already defeated. You see the guy on the ground, right? You already punched and pulled him. So now you have one free runner, two, and three. One guy here. Look at this, right? You had a late TE stunt. So he got upfield and he comes underneath to stop it. Look at this right here. I mean, this is just, this is cash money records right here. Okay. On third and fourth, this is what you're expecting, right? Maybe a run down. You like it.
Okay? It's a down where you have to expect everything.
You expect everything. But then when they bring in another offensive lineman, the guys inside are playing more run. And TCU all night essentially felt like they could cover these guys down. Look at this. Right here. They were winning all night against the receiver.
Mm-hmm. The safety is not even paying attention to any of those receivers
right.
on the outside.
He's just waiting for something to declare, yeah. right? Okay. Last but not least, hey, imagine you were a running back and you say, what'd you see? Right?
I saw
everything. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And this is the sixth defender right here. And there's somebody else in there I'm missing.
And there's somebody already in the backfield yeah. by the ACC logo.
Right, yeah. So you got 6, 7 guys in there. 6 guys by the ball. 1 guy right here that ran pretty much helped make the play. Because him doing his job, making it look like a pass rush, took this blocker out of there and had this guy chasing. Mm. Right? And so that's the difference in there when you talk about the, you know, why they struggle so much. And then this is the end result here, which is always great for a defensive guy. Well, you know why it's great for a defensive guy? This quarterback has to watch us demolish him. Look at this. Losers lean, hanging out to look good on tape, knowing you ain't blocked nobody. 5, 6 guys over there fighting to see who got credit for the tackle. This right here, okay, is what we used to do best, is like more hats to the ball. But also, you'd always have to get up and celebrate for the hopes that they would say, you got the tackle.
Foreman on the tackle.
Yeah, because we knew we weren't going to be in the game that long. We got to make sure we get our credit. So
then it's almost like you want to be there last, so you can be first off the pile to celebrate, see if you get credit for the tackle.
Well, I wouldn't say his name, but a little fella that was on the air earlier, mm-hmm. that's what he used to do. from Columbus, Georgia. That's a former Nebraska player, but he loves the Georgia Bulldogs. I don't know who that may be. That's exactly what he used to do. Here's what Farley used to do for everybody.
Oh, so you did name him again. You can't put that one. You didn't even look over here.
Yeah, that is true. is it only reason I looked at Farley because I saw Bach back there.
There we go.
Yeah. Here's where Farley would be. Right there. T. Farley. And then he'd run over there.
Start dancing.
And then he'd be interviewed after the game. Nah, that's my boy, man. Well, yeah, that's the difference. Obviously, everybody's, you know, wondering what happened about Belichick. And obviously, you know, if we get a chance, we'll do some Nebraska stuff. And, you know, we'll probably be able to have some stuff from Akron. The reason why we didn't do Cincinnati, because I felt like it was just probably just obliterated by all the internet coaches out there. It wouldn't even be, but I felt like this was the last game with Bill Belichick. But I will tell you this, as good as TCU played that play, it's an easy fix for North Carolina. I'd bet.
Because that wasn't a talent issue.
No. It's just experience, mixing in 70 guys, actually probably trying to play too perfect, overthinking game, overthinking stuff, and it's a great teaching and learning tape. I can guarantee you, not guarantee you, I would be willing to put $1 or $2 that they'll play a lot better, especially defensively, against any type of that run action for the rest of the season.
Belichick won't have it any other way.
So, and yeah, so, well, the other Steve too, right?
Hey, Steve. Mm-hmm. Steve, and I think Brian is the other Belichick on staff.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, and you got my man Mike Pfeiffer is the special teams coach. He was a wild boy too.
Hey. Felipe Lopez style? Or?
Nah, he would get it cracking. Hey, right?
Cracking?
Yeah, 7 o'clock in the morning. He'd been up since 4. So anyways, Whiteboard Wednesday, Black Shirt Breakdown, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman. Old school to new school. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're back wrapping up hour one of old school. Super short segment here. We have $50 to give away to our friends at Grotta Bar and Lounge. Everybody's favorite question is, what's for dinner? The easy answer is Grotta Bar and Lounge, located in the Clock Tower Shopping Center at 70th and A. Grotta Bar and Lounge features a menu full of delicious options, ranging from unique menu items like the peanut butter burger or the wizard pastrami sandwich, to your more traditional items like the mushroom burger or the French dip. They also have daily specials and incredible drink options. Find out for yourself at Grotta Bar and Lounge today at 70th and A. All right, Jay, trivia question for you. We'll get to texture number 4 with the right answer, over or under. Mm-hmm. How many Eden Prairie High School alumni have played in the NFL?
I got to answer this?
Yes. How many Eden Prairie High School alumni have played in the NFL? This is according to Sports Reference, by the way.
I'll just say five, but I know four for sure.
Okay. Jay says five. We need texter number four with the right answer, over, under, or put.
Because we get the benefit of doubt. It's probably more than that. Oh, it is more than that. Oh, I just told the answer. I'm just kidding.
So I was trying to figure out what year you and Tiki would have played together for that story, right? Mm. Were you born in Eden Prairie?
No.
Okay. Well, Sports Reference is wrong then. It lists Eden Prairie as your birthplace.
That's where I went to high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think you were born there, but Sports Reference does. So,
well, I could tell you this. There was not a lot of pigmentation in Eden Prairie before me. There is plenty now. No.
Yeah, you're a trendsetter, Jay.
So we were imported.
We do have the final answer. Number four texter is Aaron.
Aaron.
Well,
it is Aaron, right?
This one is just Aaron. We have a different Aaron on the text line. So, Aaron, you win the $50 to Grotta. We'll write your name down, stop by the station, and pick it up. Check? You are the first player from Eden Prairie High School to make the NFL, Jay. There have been six since you. Mark LaVoie, a tackle, played for...
Mark LaVoie, yeah.
LaVoie, yep. Patriots, Rams, and Ravens. Benny Sapp, the third, with Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Ryan Connolly. Jermaine Johnson. Carter Coughlin and Blake Cashman.
Blake Cashman. I used to train Blake Cashman. I know train Carter. Both of them. Well, there was a coach here that I brought those two here. Mm-hmm. And he was like, nah.
And they're both in the league.
Yeah, still. And Blake just got paid.
Hey.
I texted him all the day. Yeah. I said, man, if I see you on Lake Minnetonka again, I'm going to start trying to say you Prince with a purple ring. Yeah, Benny Sapp. Now, his dad played up there, and then so he was really good. Mark LaVoie was right after me a little bit. Another guy that had a cup of tea. I didn't make an – those are all the guys that made active rosters.
Active rosters, yeah.
Leroy McFadden, who was a running back mate with me, he went to Michigan State. He was actually – went to a prep school recruited by Nick Saban. So Nick Saban was trying – it didn't get me, got Leroy. Another guy that was probably more talented than all of us. Okay, and he is probably going to go down to – he's probably the guy that you could say – well, I know there's multiple guys in front of Tom Brady at Michigan, but he was actually beating Tom Brady out at one point in time at Michigan. Jason Kapsner, he was the USA Today, the number one quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Michigan, and then him and Tom Brady are really, really close. And, you know, Jason was, you know, kind of like stepped away from football. Then he came back. He was so talented that he went and Detroit invited him to veteran minicamp. Pretty much sight unseen. He just went to the pro day and just threw it around. 6'5", 225. I told him if he goes to Iowa, he goes and plays a long time in the league. I told him not to go to Michigan.
Because and he went to Michigan.
They pressured him to commit up there because he went to the football camp. Here's the problem. They had Dries back, or whatever his name is. He was a freshman. I said, Jason, you ain't never playing. Dumb Jay. But he came to Nebraska on a visit.
Oh, how about that?
I said, bro, you 6'5", you're going to get chopped down.
We're still running the option. This is happening for you, man.
You're going to come in 6'5", you're going to leave 6'2½.
Is that what you want to do? Yeah, that's what you want to do.
I told Coach Osborne, I said, listen, man, that's the dude I grew up with. That's my boy there, man. Come on.
You're not going to do him like that.
Yeah. We had a good time on his visit, though.
That's the important part, right?
Yeah, his mom ain't talked to me for a while. But we cool. This is Kapsner. I apologize.
You tried to give him good advice at first, so she can't be that mad.
Yeah, but I think when he got off the plane, it looked like he went through hell when he got home.
Well, he did get home, and yeah. I think that's the important part. Let's go to break hour two of Old School on the other side.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.